Welcome to GenCast Extra, a special sponsored podcast series brought to you by Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News. I'm your host, Jeff Bogaliskus. It's a difficult task at times, deciding what to cut and what to include in a podcast post. So much information and never enough time. Well, in this edition of GenCast Extra, we provide some additional commentary from our next generation bioprocessing panelists that we found on the cutting room floor. No less interesting or insightful than the full podcast posted previously, this additional content was left out of the original cut in the interest of time. But the editorial staff at Gen felt the content was too important to let go unnoticed. So we'll dive right in as I ask the panel if they could explain what is meant by next generation bioprocessing, often being referred to as a multidisciplinary approach. Mike Filo, Director of Downstream Process Integration, part of Next Generation Processing Initiative and based in the U.S., weighed in first.
Yeah, so when I consider this question, the first thing that comes to mind is that the goals that we have around bioprocessing as we look at 5 and 10 years into the future are extremely ambitious. If we look at wanting to bring down the sizes of the facilities in which biologics and specifically mAbs are manufactured in, significantly reducing the costs of manufacturing, and also kind of the flexibility to produce multiple molecules within a single facility or set up a new facility anywhere in the globe, that cannot be addressed through any single technology or really a discipline or channel. So there's certainly a place for optimizing and intensifying the process itself. But we know that on top of that, we'll have to bring in additional tools like PATs, process analytical technologies, which allow us to measure and control our process in line or at line and make decisions much more quickly to enable a higher efficiency and higher turnaround on the processes. We know that that will require additional software and automation capabilities that just don't exist right now, or potentially are created on a very bespoke basis and need to be more generally available for biomanufacturers. And so none of us kind of on our own are going to be able to solve the problem within our own field of expertise. And so really we have to kind of tear down these silos between quality control and operations and process development so that we can work holistically to really meet the goals that have been set out for next generation processing. Matteo, I think maybe you would have an interesting perspective on kind of the different disciplines that are required in order to kind of develop and implement a next-gen process.
Yes, sure. We are working on continuous manufacturing, and in my team, we are developing the process of what we call the process of the future. One of the main point is that we need different people from different side because it's a very complex field. We have a lot of digitalization to put in place. We have a lot of PAT to monitor. And so the technology exists. Some of the technologies exist. And we have to take them, to put it together, to link them. And how to do it is now our biggest, let's say, issue at the moment. So how to link to the system, how to communicate each unit operation to really perform in a single flow from the USP till the end. So the interaction with other people, with the USP guys from the engineering, the digital part, it's very important. Otherwise, this continuous process from end-to-end continuous process from USP till the drug substance, it will be impossible to put in place.
That was Matteo Castoli, a director of process development based in Switzerland. Our second question was framed around one of the hottest topics in bioprocessing today, single-use systems. We wanted to ask the panel, who all work closely with the mLab collaboration centers, what types of challenges do many bioprocessing specialists face with respect to single use? And how has the mLab addressed many of these concerns? Emily Peterson, a purification team manager based in Massachusetts, was first to respond.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one challenge that I see come up is the question of integration. They might have existing equipment or existing systems, and they come in with a particular interest in something and quickly realize the versatility that we offer, not only from software to connections, you know, hardware, all sorts of things. They might find a solution that they might have not even known that they were coming in to address during their initial visit.
I would also say that this is a major point here. Often it's new equipment they don't have at site at the moment, so they need to adapt and to handle this technology, and there the MLab collaboration centers are great because they can play with these single-use equipment. They can do water runs or even single-unit operations or multiple unit operations with real product. And coming back to the single-pass TFF, TFF membranes are in general very expensive, and if you do something in single use, you discard it afterwards. So with the single pass TFF, you can minimize the amount of membrane you need by exploiting the runtime. Each single molecule is only a very short time in process, and you can afterwards directly continue to manufacture. And by driving this system in a steady state, as you have it in a continuous processing operation, you can really realize long run times and can keep the required membrane area small and realize a very economic and powerful production process.
That was Torsten Bishop, a biomanufacturing engineer consultant based in Germany. Karen Chen, a process engineer based out of Singapore, was next to weigh in.
In Singapore and Southeast Asia, single-use technology are pretty new to them. So in Singapore MLab, we have this single-use training that we provide for customers to provide hands-on experience for them to build the assembly and test the assembly themselves. So this will provide training for them in the best practices that we recommend.
Lastly, Matteo Castoli provides a response, citing a particularly relevant example.
We have big, let's say, 50,000 liter commercial suites with where we implemented all our products. But now, because we increase the titer, we believe that 2,000 liter scale could be the commercial scale. At the moment, we are in clinical phase for clinical, all the clinical phase with a 2,000 liter scale. And here for the scope, we use only single use technology because we want to be very quickly. We want to change the campaign from one product to another because we have a different process ongoing in a clinical phase. And for sure, single use will be very beneficial for us. No cleaning to do. Everything is very well done, and then we can dispose in few minutes. So the changeover time is really reduced from one campaign to another. This is the big added value for the single use for us at the moment. But we believe that in the future also commercial could be at the same scale. So therefore we continue to monitor what is possible to use in a single use way.
Thank you, panel, for some insightful responses. Keep an eye out for some more GenCast discussions coming up over the next few weeks. Thanks for listening to GenCast. For genetic engineering and biotechnology news, I'm Jeff Lewis.